Please rise as you're able and let us join together in affirming our faith. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Sacrament of Holy Communion this morning, let it be known that everyone here is welcome to participate. It's not our place to say yay or nay for you, but this is an open table where Christ is the host and each of us is an equal guest. So come as you are ready. In the meantime, let us turn and greet one another and pass the peace of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So let the ushers come down to the front and let us begin our time of offering and present our gifts to God for as an act of worship and praise. And let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for the many ways that you pour your blessings upon us, and we pray that as we return a portion of those gifts to you, that you will accept them as our offering, as our tithe and our gift. We pray, O Lord, that these gifts may be used for the service of your kingdom and your reign in this time and place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Which included
include Mary Ogletree, Mimi's mother, and Marilyn Heath, Glenda Helton, Robert Jenkins, Chris Smith, Robert Record, and Jan Val. Certainly also we want to remember the victims and their families of the terrible shooting in Odessa and Midland. Just one dark moment after another when we hear of things like that. It's just so tragic. Civilians and police officers, families of the dead, and gratitude for the service of those men who were wounded. The law enforcement people from Midland, one from Midland, one from Odessa, and one state trooper, I understand. So, tragic story, and it's happening all too often. We lift our world in our prayers and ask God for God's peace to reign, and for us to be ever more active in welcoming people to the church and finding ways to get people plugged into faith and to find their center, and not to be living lives plagued by anger and hate. There's so much more, so much more. Tom Dudley is continuing with his cancer treatments, and we pray for those who are in the path of storms and many other special needs. And I know that we have in our hearts and in our own families. And so let us begin with silence, knowing that God hears us, everyone. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you as people of faith this morning. We're scattered about this room, and sometimes we're scattered about in our thoughts, scattered from one another, and sometimes even scattered within ourselves because of the many things that we try to do, our priorities and our inabilities to say no. God, we follow busy paths, and that is not a good thing. Let us find ways not to be scattered and unfocused, but to be pointed toward the center, to be gathered from the fringes, from the edges, by your grace and by your Spirit, to lead us back to a place that is aimed directly for you. Oh God, help us to stay on the path and not to just fall off of it and be tangents that run off in every direction. Help us to focus ourselves and to recognize that when we are unfocused, we can't see anything. Help us, oh God, to find ways forward in a world that is sometimes full of hurt and hate, but that is also filled with hope, if we can just uncover it, if we can find ways to share it, to believe it, if we can find ways to extend that hope to others. And every one of us, oh God, have contacts with people who are hurting, who are angry maybe, who have dark temptations. Every one of us have the opportunity to say, hey,
How is it with your soul today? How's it with your spirit? How are you? And to show that we really care, God, as we come to this altar today, we witness care, your care for us in a way that we can hardly even imagine. We need the liturgy, the words of the prayers for communion every time to remind us of how much you cared to give your life, to give your very dying, and above all, to give your rising for the benefit of the future of all of your disciples. Lord, help us to share that and to grow our discipleship, not only among ourselves and among our congregation, but among our friends and co-workers and families. And help us to point the way. Help us to find ways to draw people into faith. So many people run from Christianity. So many people run from Christ these days, partly because of the way Christians act. Help us, oh God, not to stand in the way, but to draw others to faith and faithfulness. God, we have no light or love to share save what you have planted within us. Help us, Lord, to reflect that light and that love into our corners of the world, the rooms where we hang out, the offices, the classrooms, the hallways, the neighborhoods. Oh Lord, in these moments, we lift our prayers to you as people of faith, thanking you for your faithfulness. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I urge you to take out your pew Bible and turn in the New Testament to page 213. Our reading this morning is from Hebrews 13, 1 through 8 and 15 through 16. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I am not afraid, what can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you.
I invite you to the Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah 2, 4 through 13. And as you turn to it or prepare to listen, I invite you to hear these words and to recognize the calling of God and to be a vessel, and the richness that could hold and the resistance that we have to that. This is about people who didn't take that job seriously. And that sometimes names us. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 4 through 13. Listen to the Lord's word, people of Judah, all you families of the Israelite household. This is what the Lord says. What wrong did your ancestors find in me that made them wander so far? They pursued what was worthless, and they became worthless. They didn't ask, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness in a land of deserts and ravines, in a land of drought and darkness, in a land of no return where no one survives? I brought you into a land of plenty to enjoy its gifts and goodness. But you ruined my land. You disgraced my heritage. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Those responsible for the instruction or the law didn't know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets spoke in the name of Baal, going after what has no value. This is why I take you to court and charge even your descendants, says the Lord. Look to the west, as far as the shores of Cyprus, and to the east, as far as the land of Kedar. Ask anyone there, has anything this odd ever taken place before? Has a nation switched gods? Though they are not really gods at all. Yet my people have exchanged their glory for what has no value. Be stunned at such a thing, you heavens. Shudder and quake, declares the Lord. My people have committed two crimes. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And they have dug wells, broken wells, that can't even hold water. This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. We read Jeremiah last week, and we got a little introduction to Jeremiah's prophecy. He doesn't hold back. And here he is dragging the people at God's request through this litany of critique and of hoping and desire for change. I was a child of older parents, so I didn't have grandparents for very long. And now Kathy and I are the grandparents. I remember both my grandfathers, but now sometimes I would really love to have a conversation with them. Both of them knew life on a farm, water wells and cisterns made to catch and hold rainwater. My granddad would say, we had a cistern big enough you could turn a team of mules down in there. Water is important, and it is essential. In faith symbols, the well is the source in much the same way. We need a cistern big enough to hold the supply. We have to pitch and tune the slopes of our land in such a way to capture that runoff of precious water and hold on to it. It's experienced in community with God and with people of God. We can have that community without the source, but we, without the source, capital S, can make a mess of it. Jesus is the living water, the well that will never run dry. In rural western New York, where Kathy was raised, the climate is very different from Texas. Ah, it's a rural area, and they all have wells on their property. And I remember that sweet taste of that well water. Right there in the Panama, New York backyard. It's a sweet place that I've borrowed from Kathy and her family and called it home for a generation now. There, the water has been around for ages, used and reused, taken into the clouds and rained down again, frozen into snow by winter, and melted from upon the hill and the crevices of Panama Rock Scenic Park and right back into the valley's gardens and wells again. Water is important. Respecting water, protecting it, and caring for it are essential to life. Here in today's text today, Jeremiah speaks as a prophet for God. He speaks of wells that weren't cared for, that have been broken. Read verse 13 again. God says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can't even hold water." Old folks' stories are often responded to with, "Well, you don't say," or, "Well, Taking up on that, I would sometimes just say, "Well, as I guess it's about time to go in for supper." Or if I ever said, "Well," in front of my granddaddy, he would say, "That's a mighty deep subject for such a shallow mind." But the idea of saying, "Well," and just waiting. Well, the phrase does bear some reflection. It implies that there is something more. It's a way of suspending someone's attention. When I was in college, I remember that we were called to wait on the professor, even if the professor was late to class. How many degrees that teacher had determined the rule of how long we had to wait. Sometimes in theology school, the lectures didn't have much to do with the reading material, but the lectures themselves were worth hearing and remembering. In Schubert Ogden's last semester, one of our beloved teachers of a generation ago or two, and well, he was worth waiting for. The well of knowledge those men and women shared with us was worth hearing and examining. It was worth waiting for. We started with Jeremiah last Sunday, and we spoke of his call and the vision that he had. It was about the branch of an olive tree blossoming with hope and the boiling pot that was tipped toward Jeremiah's land and the people from the country south of that pot. And that pot and its brewing were a sign of an impending attack. Now God's call and calling through Jeremiah continues. It's about the fickle ways of the people of God. How quickly they forget and fall away. God sums it up. "They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And they have dug wells, broken wells that can't hold water." God is the source, and the people are the container or the channel through which God offers living water to the world around. People in every generation have thought themselves to be chosen. The problem is that that chosenness is often turned into privilege rather than being turned into a way of serving. We are not just chosen, we are chosen for a cause. One of the first things God calls Jeremiah to say to the people is, I brought you into a land of pity, of plenty, to enjoy its goodness and its gifts. But you ruined my land and disgraced my heritage. Now, for a prophet who's young and new at the job, those are harsh words to start out with. Your teachers didn't know me, God went on. Your leaders rebelled against me, and your prophets spoke in the name of other gods. And young Jeremiah is called upon to say these things and things like them on behalf of God. Things that needed to be said, but hard words with which to start on your first Sunday. The times were desperate, and there was unrest in the land. That boiling pot to the north was an example. And God said to Jeremiah, and through Jeremiah, my people have dug wells, broken wells that cannot hold water. What a classic description of being inadequate. The very thing that you are made to do is the thing that you cannot do. A leaky vessel, a broken well that cannot do the most basic thing. Maybe that's a good place to stop and ponder for a while. We all like happy endings, you know, but we can't make a happy ending when we're still in the middle of the story. Especially if the people you're preaching to are not listening or don't take you seriously, as was the case with Jeremiah. In Jeremiah's time, God's people viewed as wells designed to carry the water of grace were themselves empty and cracked. And that is no less true today. We can't ignore the news, but we can answer its questions with some hope. How do we do that in such a way that the answers are accepted and applied, that they stick? Well, like Jeremiah, we, God's people, are called to receive that message and share it. And we're called to reflect it in our words, in our living. God simply wants us to turn around and follow and bring others along. A turning around is a great way to describe conversion. Most of us, at some point in our lives, have been headstrong on our own course, and we all know people who are, even now. To repent literally means to turn again, to pent again. And that's what it means to follow Christ. That's what it means to follow and worship God rather than making ourselves God and expecting to have our own needs served, even by God. When we pray, we often have a list of things we need or need to receive. What if we prayed to God, what can I offer? What can I do, God? Not that God needs anything from us except to let God be our guide, in everything. One of our hymns says, "You satisfy the hungry heart." It's one of those hymns that is a prayer to God. The "you" in it is God. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest bread. Oh, come to us, O living one, in whom we live and are fed. When we are open to it, the Lord brings water to fill us and for us to share with a people, a world full of people who are thirsty but don't yet know where to come for a drink. When wells are dry, when they are cracked and broken and cannot hold water, dry wells are a popular image. Like the story of the woman who went each day to draw water from the well. She carried a pole on her shoulders with two jars hung on it, one on each end. And on her return trip, one of the jars would hold the water it carried, but the other would drip some of its water out along the way. A broken vessel, cracked and unable to completely hold that gift. But because that cracked and broken and dripping jar shared its bounty, flowers bloomed on that side of the path all the way back to the village. There is water, thankfully, and apparently there always has been. It has been said that all the water in the world that has ever existed still exists in some form or another. That's why we have to care for it. There's no more new water. We have to care for it and clean it and reuse it. But water has been there all along the way. Listen to this. Even in the biblical account of creation, the water was already there. Genesis 1:1-2 says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." The water was there from the beginning. It is to be treasured. It is to be used, but not abused. It's no wonder that we use water to celebrate our baptism and to remember our baptism. We touch the water, sprinkle it on our foreheads, bathe in it, are immersed in it as a sign of cleansing and hope. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet in a time when the people of God were broken vessels and could not even hold the water that they were called to share. But maybe it's even better if a watering can has a hole in it. Then the blessings will have to spill out. Every one of us is a broken vessel in some way or another. Wouldn't have it any other way. A jar that holds water keeps it. And our whole purpose is to leak the story. Our purpose is to tell the good news. Let us pray that God, who keeps filling us, will also keep us willing to leak out and share God's bounty. Let us begin by celebrating God's bounty here at this table and then go out into the world ready to share that in every direction. Thanks be to God. I invite you to page 12 in our hymnals as we share together in preparation for the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of our sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin and our need before God and each other. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let our prayers continue in silent moments of confession. Hear now this good news, that while Christ died for us and we were yet sinners, that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night that Jesus gave Himself for us, He took bread. He gave thanks to You, and He broke the bread and gave it to His disciples, saying to them, "Take and eat, for this is My body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of Me." And after the supper, Jesus took the cup, again, giving thanks to You, O God, and He gave it to His disciples and said to them, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the many for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ,
that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, bread of life, broken for you, Carolyn. The body of the Christ, John, given for you. The very life of Christ poured out for you. The cup of Christ offered for you, his forgiveness, his love, his care, and our thanksgiving for all that he is. Let me rush you. I'm sorry. Sure. All right. Please come as you are ready. Come and kneel or stand at the altar as the ushers may lead you, and come prepared to receive the gift of Jesus.
us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we might go into the world in the strength of that pardon and of your grace to give ourselves for others as you have given yourself to us. Amen. If today's a day for you to trust Christ in a new way or to join this congregation of people of faith, we have a spot for you. If today is that day, we welcome you to come to the altar or to the table as we sing this hymn of invitation. You may join this congregation by any of the ways that we receive members, by professing your faith for the first time, or by transferring your membership from another church of any denomination. We are wide open doors, okay? We have a place for you. And so, let us sing this hymn of invitation as we all prepare to confess our need for Christ and to walk in His way this week and beyond. Our hymn of discipleship, number 344, Lord, You Have Come to the Lake Shore. Let us sing together. And so, we come to the beginning of the rest of this day. We come to the end of these moments of worship. But let us worship God and honor God in all of the things that we do. Sunday afternoon, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And let us walk in His footsteps, hoping that others will see us and follow Him too. Go in His peace. Amen.